Friends, this is a good news story of God from the gospel storyteller Mark. After Jesus was transfigured, he came down the mountain with Peter, James, and John to meet the other disciples. When they got there, they saw a great crowd surrounding them and an argument unfolding with some religious scholars. When the crowd spotted Jesus, who was glowing, they were immediately awestruck and they ran over to greet him. Jesus asked, "What are you arguing about?" Someone in the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I have brought you my child. He has a spirit that makes him unable to speak or hear. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he salivates and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to remove it, but they could not." Jesus said, "Oh, unbelieving generation! How much longer must I stay with you? How much more must I put up with you? Bring him to me." So they brought him the child. When the spirit saw Jesus, immediately it shook the child, and he fell to the ground rolling, and saliva came out of his mouth. Jesus asked, "How long has this been happening to him?" The parent replied, "Oh, ever since he was a baby. It has often thrown him into the water and into the fire to destroy him. But if you can do anything, help us. Have compassion on us." Jesus said, "If you are able, all things are possible for the one who believes." Immediately, the parent burst into tears and cried, "I believe! Help my unbelief!" Jesus saw that the crowd was rapidly gathering, so he spoke sternly to the unclean spirit. "You spirit, who keeps this child from speaking and hearing, I command you, leave him! Never enter him again." Screaming and shaking terribly, it came out, and the child was like a corpse, so that people said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he was able to stand. After Jesus left and went inside, the disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not remove it?" Jesus said, "This kind can only come out through prayer." So earlier, Tony mentioned that the youth at HUCC have been going on fun outings over the fall and summer. And a few weeks ago, Linda gave our youth group a tour of the Salt Lake City Cemetery. And since it's because the Halloween season, we just had to visit the spookiest grave in all of Utah, perhaps all of the United States. That is the headstone of Lily Gray, which is inscribed, "Victim of the Beast, 666. Standing there on this beautiful, sunny, quiet, peaceful hill. My heart just broke for this woman and for what her husband Elmer had put there for the whole world to see. Now, as interesting as it is to speculate on poor Lily's story, I actually think it's time that we just follow Linda's feminist tour lead and put an end to such speculation. Lily Gray was a blessed child of God. She rests in peace with God beyond any negative label she may have carried in life or in death. And as much as I might add for Linda too, would dislike having to bless her husband Elmer, the same must be said for him as well. He was a blessed child of God, and may they both rest in peace. So this is something we can say for all of us, right? We don't have to know the details of one another's lives to know that each one of us is a blessed child of God. And so the same must be said for the child in our story today. You know, the one who was allegedly possessed by a demon or an unclean spirit. Now, in the Bible and in ancient times, demons were blamed for any symptoms of an illness that didn't fall into the recognized disease categories of that day. But just like there were no demons on that quiet, peaceful, sunny hill in the Salt Lake Cemetery, I am here to tell you there were no demons in our story today, okay? Just a treatable, biological disease that today we call epilepsy. So I really wanted to emphasize this right up front because brain disorders and cognitive and mental health are too much a part of our everyday lives to speak of in such outdated and supernatural terms. Epilepsy is not an evil, unclean, or demonic experience. Epilepsy is not caused nor perpetuated by a parent's lack of faith. It is not a challenge bestowed by God to help grow one's moral character. And if it's not a curse, it's also not a blessing. It is just a fact of life. However, we can say that people who live with epilepsy are blessed. They are blessed simply because of who they are. And they are blessed by the love that is shared with them. Like the child in the story today is blessed by the love of his parents. So we can talk about this rationally today, now that we understand how our brains work. But oh, the anguish of being a parent when your child is sick. My heart breaks for the parent in our story whose child has been injured by burning and in danger of drowning since they were a baby. There is nothing worse, I don't think, than watching a little one suffer and be at risk. So the last thing that a family in this situation needs to be offered are theological promises, promises of God's healing or miracle cure or encouragement to blame God if God's all-knowing will does not provide an answer to their prayers. I think this is why Jesus was maybe so mad at the disciples in our story today. So he comes down the mountain and encounters them engaged in a big theological debate with religious scholars. And he quickly discovers that the start of this whole thing is that they have been sidetracked from providing actual care to a desperate family. And I imagine Jesus thinking, seriously? You knew I was coming down here, and yet you couldn't wait with this family in a quiet place for me to come and take care of them? You needed it to take it into your own hands, turn their need into some kind of referendum on your theology or on your miracle powers? Why couldn't you just wait for me to get here? Now, as much as I sympathize with Jesus, having been on the parent side of this equation, let's ask ourselves, did Jesus' arrival actually cure this child of epilepsy? Now, I'm sorry to say, I don't actually know. I'm not saying that he didn't. I do think that all things are possible with God. But you'll notice that this story does not actually report the boy speaking or hearing after his encounter with Jesus, only that his seizure had ended and he was able to stand back up. And seizures end, right? So a cure would be one thing, but friends, healing is a different thing. No matter the circumstance or outcome, even when there is no cure possible, there is always some kind of healing that can happen. Just look at the beautiful care that Jesus provided. He invited the child to come and be present, invited the parent to speak, put them both directly in his center of attention. He paid attention to the child's symptoms. He asked caring questions of the parents. He offered words of hope and encouragement and ritual prayer and healing touch. And he did all of this in about 2 minutes compared to the endless theological controversy that his disciples were stirring up. Surely all that Jesus did there helped. Every act of care adds up. Where I see the greatest healing occurring in this story is that moment when Jesus helps the parents move from self-blame into hope for their child's future. So did you notice that instead of condemning the parents for his sense of unbelief, Jesus encouraged him, even the tiniest shred of hope is enough for the possibilities of God to flow. I know that many parents whose children are sick blame themselves. They blame themselves for not being able to fix their child's problems, or even save their life. And this is agony. But friends, unbelief is no barrier for God, who is always coming toward us with healing and love. You You with your unbelief, your doubt, your discouragement, your despair, you are fully worthy of Jesus' help and care. And you know, as much as my hackles raise against these disciples in our story today, because they really botched this one, my heart actually hurts for them too. Because I think they speak for all of us when they ask, why could we not remove it? It is so hard to trust that merely being a hopeful and prayerful presence is enough. When we encounter a hurting family in our community, and all we want to do is be able to change or control the situation for them. But Jesus says this kind of agony can only come out through prayer, or I would say, presence. The healing presence of a community that can accept the reality of a child's physical challenges and find ways to affirm that, yes, while the current reality is difficult, illness and disability are a natural and normal part of life. An accepting community like this accompanies families in the present and also encourages them to have hope for the future. Because the truth is, for every blessed child of God, their future is open. Time, treatment, adaptation, and adjustment can bring improvements. And with God's faithful drive to bless us always, better things are always possible. So I'd like to end by bringing you the words of an Episcopal faith formation leader named Colette Potts. She wrote a curriculum for parents of children who live with mental health challenges. And I think her message for parents is actually a message for all of us facing illness at any age. She says, you might be wrestling with your faith, wondering, where is God right now? Why would God do this to my child, to me, to our family? From this perspective, we accept these questions as valid aspects of a person's experiences, and so important to acknowledge and name. In this context, what we like to convey is that wherever your child is, you are, and your family is, you are all loved, lovable, valuable, and worthy of God's love and the love of this community. As it is valuable and enough to be loved. More than words, this is the power that can support you and allow you to face, acknowledge, and accept the truth of the situation that you are in. This is the voice of healing and empowering community across the body of Christ. Friends, acceptance is powerful. Acceptance is the wider perspective that lifts our children and youth up and helps them find their feet without demanding that anything about them or their current situation be different. Every youth is blessed and whole just as they are. Let us thank God for them. Amen.